Good afternoon, everybody, and we thank you for coming to this fan forum. I'm Dave Logan, the voice of the Broncos, and for the next, I think you said like 3 hours? 3 hours, we're going to have a chance to pepper these guys with questions and see how they answer them. Now, this is an opportunity really, and it's about the fans, to tell you the truth. It's an opportunity for you guys to hear from. And I guess I should introduce these three for those that don't know. But John Elway is seated here. John, 16 years here with the Broncos, 2 Super Bowl championships, 23 years with the organization, just signed a 5-year deal to remain as the president of football operations and GM. No coincidence that I just signed a 5-year deal to remain as the play-by-play voice of the Broncos. Purely coincidental. And I see my boss here, and he's thinking, you didn't sign a 5-year deal. Of course, the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, we'll have a chance to hear from him on a variety of issues. Steve Atwater, really no introduction needed. Steve, a former great Bronco, a guy that is in the Ring of Fame, was a finalist last year for the Hall of Fame. I should mention John, of course, is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. So we have a chance to sit down and ask these guys a few questions. Commissioner, I will start with you. At this time of year, what excites you most about the league? You got 32 teams about to start. I mean, how do you view August of every year?
I think I'd say it in one word, hope. There's hope for every fan that their team is going to win the Super Bowl because the NFL, I think, is the most competitive league in sports on a global basis. We have so many teams that go from last to first to last. It's just you don't know who's going to emerge as the great team. You don't know who's going to emerge as the great player or performances that happen, and they always happen. So you don't know where they're coming from, and that excitement of saying where's it going to come from is something that I always look forward to.
I would remind everybody that we're going to have some mics that will be passed around here shortly. So be thinking of any questions that you would want to ask any of these three. John, as you look at this season, I think you could really help a lot of us if you would today just go ahead and name your starting quarterback.
Vance isn't here. He's going to nail us. I'm going to leave that. I'm leaving that up to Vance.
It's going to be Vance. So, I mean, how about that? You've got a competition between two young guys, one of which played last year and one of which was a first-round draft choice. I mean, you played in this league for a long time at an elite level at that position. How do you view the competition for that spot?
Well, I mean, I feel like we're very fortunate to have two quality young, talented quarterbacks. And so, you know, the one thing that they're lacking, even though Trevor played a bunch last year, they're just lacking play time and experience. And so, you know, we've had a great competition here in camp. You know, they're both young. They're going to make mistakes. But, you know, feel very good about that position. And you know, anytime you can have two guys battling for that spot, you're going to get the best out of them. I think the really good thing also is we're much better around the quarterback position. We're much better. The one that I think the thing that I'm really the happiest about in camp is our offensive line play. And it's gotten a lot better, a lot more physical. And when you could be better up front, it's going to help both those young guys. And so, you know, we got a lot of camp left. You know, in 1 week from now, we'll be in Chicago and ready to play the Bears and see what we have. And that's the exciting part about going to camp is, you know, you go through the draft, you go through OTAs, and you have great hope for the young guys and also your veteran players to get better. But until we get here and get in games, you don't know what kind of step we've really made. And so that's why it's always exciting to get to that first preseason game and see what we have.
I introduced these three guys and failed to mention Steve, of course, former great player in this league for a long, long time, and I think a guy that will continue to be talked about and hopefully get over the hump in terms of the Hall of Fame. But Steve is back with the organization this year. Steve is going to be involved with community development. He's also going to be involved with the website, DenverBroncos.com. He's a mainstay on Orange and Blue Radio 760. So Steve has sort of come to the dark side a little bit as a former player. He's kind of a member of the media and kind of not. What have you seen since you retired that you like about the game that maybe was not prevalent when you played?
Well, back when I played, training camp was a tad bit tougher.
Me too. John too.
So I would say that I like how the league has been really proactive about making sure there aren't too many practices, although I think we may need a few more practices. Mm-hmm. but just the safety of the players, a lot of guys when they get done playing ball, I don't say a lot of guys, some guys have issues, and so the league has been really proactive about looking after players, both current and past players, to make sure that the game is as safe as it can be. And we know the game of football, you know, it isn't tiddlywink, so it's got to be some roughness to it. But I think the league has done a great job of looking out for its players.
Commissioner, before we open it up to people in the audience, the ownership group here is unique, I would think, in terms of the NFL. How do you view the current Broncos ownership, and have you been aware of really what's gone on the last few years?
Oh, for sure, and it goes on for a long time. I mean, I had the good fortune of working very close with Pat Bowlen. He was incredibly involved with league matters, and I think I spoke to him almost every day. And I got a real appreciation of what he contributed, but also I had a really good understanding of what was important to him. And the Broncos and the way they did things was really obviously at the top of his list. And he planned very carefully for the unfortunate circumstances that we're in. And he understood that he wanted the Broncos to do the best possible transition if this did occur. And he's established a system with Joe Ellis and the trust that I think has done a terrific job. They keep the real key people like John Elway and the others that are going to ensure that this team is still represents this community the way Pat wanted to be represented. They still work on winning, but winning with class. And I think the ownership has done an excellent job, including Joe and others, of really being active in league matters. John is on our competition committee, is making an enormous contribution there. Joe's on several of our committees, and I think that would make Pat proud.
Last one before we open it up. John, you, when I was introducing you, talked about your new deal, and I think that's obviously good news for the Broncos in terms of continuity moving forward. There was much speculation during the offseason as to what took so long. So what took so long?
It was fake news. Prime example of fake news right there. Because there was no problem with my contract at any point in time. It was just a matter of when we got it done and got it signed. And so, I mean, you know, we had talked about it, and there's a lot of questions about it, but there was no doubt in my mind this is where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And as the commissioner said, Joe's given me a tremendous opportunity to be here and run the football operations. And so it was just a matter of spending the time and getting it done. It just took us a little bit of time. We had some different things with some health among the people involved there, so that kind of pushed it back a little bit, but that was fake news.
Fake news. So what drives you? I mean, I've always known you as one of the most competitive guys that I've known. You've been successful. I'm guessing
that
you don't really...
competing. That's what it, you know, and I think it's something as a...
Is that why you do it?
It's why I do it. And that's why this is the next best thing to being there and playing, is to being able to be involved with it and, you know, be a part of a team and a part of an organization and be a part of selecting the team and what we want our team to look like and who's going to coach that team. And so I enjoy that process, and it allows me to stay close to the game, because I'll never lose that competitive edge. It's what made me as a player, and it's made me the person I am in the business world too. So I don't, I signed a 5-year deal and thrilled with that opportunity, but I just don't ever see myself losing that desire to beat the Raiders.
Worse to be around you after a loss as a player or as the president of football ops?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably as a player, just because I was more, game day. Now I kind of sit like everybody in this room. I sit and hope. Game day, whereas as a player, being a quarterback, you test it every down. But it's still tough. And I think now, we're looking at different, things aren't going well. We're looking at different possibilities, how we can get things turned around, and whether it be on the personnel side or whatnot.
All right, we'll open this up for people in the audience that have questions, and we'll start right over here. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks. This question is primarily for Commissioner Goodell. My name's Jeff Sherman, and this builds on what Steve Atwater was alluding to. About 2 weeks ago, another study came out about the impact of football and head injury. How concerned are you about kind of the government getting involved in this, in treating football in a regulated manner like boxing, et cetera, and it hurting the game going forward?
Well, we appreciate the studies, and we actually not only appreciate them, we've actually funded many of these studies. And what we all need is more information. And so there's one thing that is clear amongst the medical community is that we have a lot more questions than we have valid answers to. And so we need a lot more research, and I think we have led the way on that. We have not only led with research, but we've led on rule changes to our game. We've led on awareness to the injuries. We've led on how we can develop new equipment that will make our game safer for our players. There's a new helmet coming out this year that came out of what we called an NFL GE Head Health Challenge, where we put it out that how do we use new materials? How do we use new technology to create a better helmet that's going to absorb the impact? And we have one that's hitting the market this year. It was developed by somebody in Seattle that was funded with that money. And so I think, because of that leadership, because of we've taken the responsibility to manage our game, manage the health and safety of our players, that is going to be seen as, hey, they're doing the right things. Sure, they've got challenges, but so does every active sport. What we're learning in our sport is helping every other sport. So I have 16-year-old twin girls who are playing sports. There's a debate about whether they wear a helmet in lacrosse. I bet you 5 years from now they're going to look back at that and say, they're all wearing helmets. How did they not wear helmets? That's evolution, and that's evolution with information and people looking to make sure we're doing what we can to protect our kids playing sports.
All right, we will head to the opposite side. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Derek McCoy. I'm a former NFL guy, not for long guy. And I do work with the Denver Broncos, character development work with middle school football players. And I think the Broncos are doing a great job of stepping up and doing something at every level. I'm just curious, is there any initiatives that the NFL in general is going to take to pursue character development, middle school, high school, college?
Yeah, actually, we're very active in that space and have been for quite some time because these are two great players, but they can speak to the character and the values that come from this game. To me, just playing through high school, that's what I always took with me, is that, I wasn't good enough to play with these guys, but the lessons I learned about hard work, about teamwork, about perseverance, are all the character things that have helped me get where I am off the field. And I believe in that. And when you talk to people who played the game, they all talk about that. That's that's what they really took from the game. And that competitiveness that John was talking about, you have to compete, but you also have to work as a team. And that's how you're successful in life. And what we've done as a league is try to work with our youth leagues through USA Football and making sure that we have character camps and we're actually training and going into schools and actually using football and character to help educate our young kids about what it's like to live life and the life skills that are necessary to be successful. And so we're really proud of the work we're doing there, and it's important to us, and it's important, more importantly, to our kids.
Commissioner, what one thing do you like least about your job, other than this?
No, that's not, you know what, least about my job. Maybe the focus, and it's the focus on you, because the focus should be on these guys, the players, the coaches, the game. And, you know, too much of it is focused on something that, you know, you have to be involved with. And we, the commissioner should be, and hopefully can be, is out of the way as possible. That's not always possible, because that's what the commissioner's job is. And I would like to keep the focus on the game. So that may be the biggest frustration for me. But I must tell you too, Dave, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I mean, when I was 6 years old, I slept with a football, and I think I'm not sleeping with it any longer. But you know, I fell in love with the game, and I loved to play, and I also wanted to be involved, and it was always a life dream of mine. So I'm still living the dream, as they say, but I feel like we have something really special to people, and I want to help make it better.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dustin Neal, and I have a question for Mr. Elway. As you think back to the drive against Cleveland, what was the thought process in the huddle going into that?
Wow. Unfortunately, it's a long time ago, but I can still remember it. But I think what I remember most about that is we're in old Cleveland Municipal Stadium. And so, I mean, it was a huge, huge stadium, because it was really kind of a baseball stadium. And so we're in the end zone to where we weren't right next to the dog pound. We were opposite end of the dog pound, which was a good thing, because if you ever had a TV timeout back in those days and you're in the dog pound, you were getting pelted with dog bones and eggs and
batteries.
Dave knows that. So, but I think, you know, we got to the point where, you know, we had to try to just concentrate on getting one first down, and then try to concentrate on getting the second first down, and see how things went, because I think we had 5 minutes to go, and we had to get out of the shadow of our goal line. And so we really kind of taken it one step. And you talk about staying in the now. We were able to stay in the now. And then as we got going and started picking up first downs, the place got quieter and quieter and quieter. And as that happened, we got, you know, we got more and more and more momentum. And then when we hit Mark Jackson on the 3rd and 17, that really kind of got us over the hump. But we're really lucky there, because we're on a silent count, and I'd moved my heel too soon, and Steve Watson was in motion. And so the ball came up, and it glanced off Steve Watson's hip. And so that just goes to show you know, not only you have to be good and execute, but you have to be a little bit lucky at times. And that's a situation where we're a little bit lucky. And then, you know, when we got down there and then we scored, that was probably the scariest extra point I'd ever been through in my life, just because that would have got us to overtime. But once we got into overtime, they were still kind of, they were awestruck in the fact that we had scored and tied. And so, you know, people don't remember, we had to take it down in overtime, get in field goal in position to win it. So that for me was, my coming out party. And for me, that was, probably the biggest point in my career when I look back on that kind of put me on the map. And so but you know, and then unfortunately we went to the Super Bowl, played a good half there, and then weren't able to get it done. But you know, that was that was my third favorite game in my career. The two Super Bowls and then the Cleveland game is the third one. So,
but just for the record, he doesn't remember any details about that Cleveland game.
Me neither. Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for coming out. You know, we are standing on this beautiful football field that's 100 yards long. It was 100 yards long since forever, right? So what are you thinking about, Mr. Commissioner, of changing the game? The guys are faster, stronger. You know, a quarterback can throw the ball, what, probably 30, 40 yards in the air now. So, I just wonder, is there something you're doing to account for
30 or 40 yards?
More?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
Could you still, John, throw 30 yards?
Yeah, I still get it 30 or 40.
So I just wonder if there's something, you know, way in the future you're thinking to just, you know, make it all different, crazy?
Well, you know, it's a really good question because you want to continue to innovate with the game. And so I think we're unique among professional sports leagues because every year we evaluate every aspect of our game, and mostly through the competition committee, of which John serves. And the idea is that, you know, during the year, during the season, we're keeping notes. We're looking at things. We have coaches who are calling. We have players, executives. And they give us ideas about the things that could change in the game, at least in the coming year. And then it goes to the competition committee and they consider it. You're thinking more down the road long term, which is what we spend an awful lot of time on without the competition committee of what kind of changes are necessary to the game for the long term. We have actually talked about the size of the field. The CFL uses a larger field. It's wider and longer. It has a dramatic change on the game, and I guess I'd start with we think our game is the greatest game in the world. And so you want to improve it, you want to tweak it, and you want to make sure that you see trends that are happening, but it certainly doesn't need to be thrown out. It's one of the most exciting, competitive, and fun games going, and our job is to keep trying to figure out how we can do that, how we can make it safer, and how we can continue to make it more competitive. And those are tweaks as opposed to that kind of change, in my view. But John may have a view, and Steve might.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that's the great thing is the commissioner wants to get this game better every year. And so we're working on it and proud to be on part of the competition committee. I will say one thing that to me is what makes this game great is the athletes. And the athletes are getting so much better. It's you know, when I came in the league in 1983, our center was 255, the guards were 260, and the tackle was one tackle was a big tackle at 275. So if you look at today's world and you look at the athletes, they had now, you know, they're all over 300 pounds. You got linebackers at 245 pounds that are running 4.4, and so just the speed of the game and the athleticism within the game is just, you know, continues to get better and better and better. And Dave sees that on his high school team, I'm sure. You know, when you look at, you know, the kids and the size that they're playing at the high school level now. So, you know, that's the greatest thing about, you know, to me is about the game and how the game's getting better and why it's always so much fun to watch is because the athletes continue to get better too.
I want to jump in with one for Steve Atwater. Steve, of course, as I said, a great player, eight-time Pro Bowler, but one of the biggest and most physical safeties of his time. And Steve, I want to ask you now, if you were coming into the league now, there's no question you could play, but would you be a safety or would you be an outside linebacker?
Well, the ego side of me says I'd be a safety.
That's okay.
But as fast as those guys are, they're a lot faster than I was when I played. They don't have the size, a lot of the safeties, a lot of defensive backs don't have the size that I had. But their responsibilities are different. Back when I came into the league, especially in the AFC West, we were playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, San Diego Chargers, everyone in the AFC West, and each of the teams had large running backs, and we needed to stop them from running the ball. So I had to get up in the box and had to put the big boy pads on and had to get up there and mix it up a little bit. Whereas now, if a team puts a huge guy in there, they may be on the goal line or something, where they'll put a 250, 260-pound back in there. But for the most part, the safeties don't need to be in the box as much as we were back then to help stop the run. But yeah, if I had to – if I could guess and look into the future, I would say I'd probably be more of a backer at this if I came to the league right now.
Be a good one, I can tell you that. Last couple of questions. And by the way, we're going to have Von Miller and Emmanuel Sanders out here in just a couple of minutes and obviously able to ask them some questions as well. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. My name is Bill Shirley, and I have I want to make a point and ask a question. First off, I didn't know that Steve Atwater was going to be here, and I was hoping to get a chance to get you, Mr. Goodell, to look at the stats and make a recommendation to that Hall of Fame committee. This
Thank
man
you.
Belongs there. He does.
I got you covered after the show, all right?
And another thing, I wanted to kind of go a different direction. Here we've allowed the Pirates of the league, the Raiders, to move again. And moving into Las Vegas, I know that it's we don't hear a lot about it, but I know it's a big concern of allowing betting on the game and how those that do the betting try to from time to time try to manipulate things. What special things do you are you doing to prevent those people from manipulating our game? And secondly, do you foresee in the future, especially with a stadium in Las Vegas, that maybe there'd be some on-site betting available?
Well, a couple points. First off, I hope after years that we are able to put the Raiders in a position where they will be have long-term future is secure. And we tried to get it done in Oakland. We were unsuccessful in doing that. But I think they have a great opportunity in Las Vegas to be secure there for many, many years. And that's ultimately what we want, is that long-term security. Obviously, we're aware of the fact that Las Vegas is known for its gambling. I think it's a much different city than that, though. I think it's a much more diverse city, a city that has tremendous entertainment, and it's the fastest growing in the city. And that's, excuse me, the fastest city, growing city in the country. And I think that's something that why we have a great deal of comfort about the future success. As far as the gambling, gambling is going on now around the world. It's not going to change whether we have a team in Las Vegas or not, in the sense of there's going to be either more or less gambling. It will probably cause us to reevaluate a lot of our policies. There's been an evolution in gambling that I think people have seen throughout this country, and we are adapting to that also. And so policies that affect employees, including the players and coaches, we're going to reevaluate all of that. But we are also going to have a very firm line on the integrity of the game. And you pointed out influences into our game. I think one of the things fans always want is when they're watching a game, they know that the outcome is decided between those white lines and by those individuals and nothing else, no outside influences. And that's what we focus on all the time, is making sure, one, we talk to the players, we talk to the coaches, we talk to them about the influence. These guys all went through it for years. And making sure that they understand what to look for and to make sure that they avoid any situation where even the perception is that they're influenced by outside forces. So part of it's education, part of it's policies, and part of it's just a diligence of making sure that we protect that integrity of the game, and that we will not relent on.
We have time for one more before Vaughn and Emmanuel are brought up. Yes.
Hi. My name is Beth Buglione, and I was recently hired as the head coach up at Netterland High School.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
I'm the first female head coach in the history of Colorado, but I come from Oregon. And in Oregon, I've been coaching for 15 years. Nobody looked, you know, it's all, it's Bath, she coaches, no big deal. What are some things that the NFL is doing currently to encourage more women to get into the profession? Thank you.
It's a great question, and congratulations to you. We have been very active in this area. So the last 2 years around the Super Bowl, we've had a women's forum where we talk about careers in sports. We actually expanded our Rooney Rule, which was for diversity, primarily among coaches, to our front office and encouraging our clubs to do that. And they have taken the mantle. And what they're realizing is it makes their organization better. So we just a year ago hired a young woman named Samantha Rapoport, who I've known for a long time. She played professional football, and she has worked in our youth football area. And we appointed her to go and identify individuals who have the ability to coach or be in football operations positions throughout the league. And she's had extraordinary success. I think we have 8 people who are doing internships with clubs this year. I was just at the Jets on Monday, and they have 3 alone at the Jets. So 5 different clubs have hired women for various positions, either in coaching or scouting or somewhere in football operations. And we've also expanded it into the medical area. Each year we have a program through the trainers where we have to have 1 female trainer per team in training camp. And you're starting to see even more of those trainers being hired on a full-time basis year-round. So I'm a big believer, again, as a father of twin daughters, women can make a big difference. And so they're going to make a big difference in football, on the field, off the field, and certainly they're doing it in our office. We have women. We just hired a woman from Canada who's running our NFL network. First time that's ever happened in, I think, any real network, major network. So we're proud of that, and we're going to continue that. So congratulations and good luck this season.
Before we turn these three loose, we're about to bring up two of the really creative touchdown celebrators in modern football history. And I just want to ask the commissioner, the league has changed their stance a bit on what will be allowed after one scores a touchdown. Just give us a quick synopsis of what that is.
Well, it really was an inspiration from the players, because the players all said, you know, we'd like to celebrate more. We'd like to show our individuality. We want to show our enthusiasm. And this has been an issue throughout the league. We've always tried to find that right balance. I think we adjusted about a year ago or 2 years ago and over-adjusted, in my opinion. And I think there was a lot more room for us to give the players more flexibility. And I spoke to personally probably 30 to 50 players and our staff probably another 50. And the one theme that I heard from every player was, we understand sportsmanship. We understand the need to make sure it's not done in a taunting fashion, or it's not going to be done to reflect negatively on ourselves, the game, our community. So we're going to keep it the highest possible standards, whether it's violence or sexuality. Those are important things. And so I think the players really felt strongly about it. I think to a large extent they own it. I think you're going to see a lot of creativity out there. But I think those boundaries that they all identified and they all believed in will be very much a big part of it. But we should ask them. And I know a lot of guys are talking about it, because I get calls every once in a while from them saying, I'm thinking about a couple things. And,
oh, they run it by you in terms of the choreography?
No, they don't. And that's probably a good idea, by the way, because I wouldn't know the first thing to do. But, you know, these guys are not just the greatest players, but I think they're great individuals. They're great men. And they do unbelievable things in their communities. These are two great examples of it. And there's two more sitting here. But the reality is they know what to do and how to reflect on themselves and the game. And I think they're going to do it really well.
Commissioner Goodell, John, Steve, thanks very much for your time. Round of applause for these three. Von Miller, Emmanuel Sanders.
Hey, man. How you doing, man? You doing all right?
Oh, Commissioner, you're staying, by the way. I false cued you out of here. That might be it for me. So now we are joined by a couple of obviously great Broncos, Von Miller, Emmanuel Sanders. Fellas, first of all, thanks for coming. Second of all, I'm just going to start this thing as I was, you heard the question I had for the commissioner. You guys have been in the past fairly creative with either a sack move afterwards or a touchdown move. How much time have you spent working on those things?
I want to say you put a lot of time into it. I think just, you know, mentally you think about it and you're like, man, I wish I could be able to do this or I wish I could be able to do that. Now, you know, they've changed the rules where we could, you know, like the commissioner said, show a little bit of creativity. So I'm excited about it. Now that the rules have changed, you know, you start to, you know, think about it a little bit more. But I don't know if I put more time into it. I said I was going to get a choreographer and stuff. And,
yeah, right.
You know, to help out the locker room. But
which means time.
Yeah, but I haven't done that yet. So who knows where to go.
All right.
Emmanuel. I mean, Vaughn has the experience. He's been dancing on the stars, dancing with the stars. So here I am. I'm the lone wolf right now. But I tell you what, my financial advisor was excited about that. You know, last year I got fined like $16,000 for acting like I was a pitcher. So, yeah. So I'm excited about it. You know, I think the guys still got to be responsible and still represent the shield in him allowing us to be more loose. But I think that it's going to bring more excitement to the game and, you know, better for the fans.
We'll have the same type of interaction here, so be thinking of whatever questions you might want to ask these three, and we will continue. Vaughn, you have had, obviously a great career here, and you have now, with sort of what's happened, you have become, at least in my mind, sort of the face of the franchise. If, in fact, you agree with that, how do you deal with that, and do you the responsibility that comes with it as well?
It's a huge responsibility, and I just, the way I deal with it, I don't put too much pressure into it. I really don't, put too much pressure on myself about it. I just, stick to the same formula that's got me to this point now. Like I said before, I had great examples that have come before me, from Peyton Manning to Brian Dawkins to Tim Tebow, Champ Bailey, all of these guys that have showed me exactly how to do it, DeMarcus Ware. So I know exactly how to do it. I just, got to do it in my way. So I think I have a great, head start on it with those guys, attending the franchise.
But Dave, if I could just add something, yeah. One of the great privileges for me is being part of the draft, and we have probably 25 or so guys come in every year in the first round draft choices, and I get the chance to meet with them. And so I'll never forget. So it's usually pretty close to all 25 at one time, and guys stand out. Certain guys stand out. This guy stood out from day one as a leader, and you could see that, and it was a very positive thing. And so while we're all product of our mentoring and people who teach us how to do things, he has something that's just inspiring and something that's at the core of his character. And that's you saw that almost immediately.
I appreciate that.
Let me ask Emmanuel. there are acknowledged leaders on the defense that are pretty easy to sort of pinpoint. Vaughn and Akib and Chris Harris Jr. and maybe even a couple of others. Who's the leader in your mind on offense?
Well, I think Demaryius does a great job. Even last year, with Trevor, Matt Paradis, I consider myself a leader. Obviously, offensively, we're making changes. We got a new offensive coordinator, and we're trying to figure that out. But, every single day that I come to work, I tell myself I got to lead these young guys. The goal is to win a Super Bowl. And in doing that, it's going to be hard. I've had the privilege of playing in two Super Bowls. I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what the work ethic is supposed to be. And so I'm just trying to teach those guys how to have those championship habits. And that's what we have around the building.
By the way, Vaughn, I believe, a five-time Pro Bowler. Emmanuel's been to a couple of Pro Bowls. Emmanuel, three consecutive seasons with over 1,000 yards receiving. Just wanted to point that out, or those things out.
Thank you, thank you.
Let's go ahead and open it up.
Hi, I'm Kevin Shaughnessy. I have a question for Commissioner Goodell. How do you feel that the CBA restrictions on practice sessions and also contact drills during the season are having an impact on the quality of the product on the field during the season, particularly early in the season? Do you feel that it's eroded the quality of play earlier in the season?
No, I don't. You look at these guys. I mean, it used to be decades ago that we used to have 6 preseason games. Training camp was 10 or 12 weeks, double sessions every day. These guys take care of themselves every day. Look at them. These guys, they're never out of shape. And I think it comes with their professional approach to the game. And from my standpoint, the rules have been very healthy. Coaches like to coach, right? But every team has the same rules. Every team has the same restrictions, the same limitations. And they have learned to coach them quicker. They've learned to coach them more efficiently. They've learned to take advantage of the time in which they have them. There are times when I look at certain positions, and I talk to coaches about this all the time. Do offensive linemen, from a development standpoint, need more reps? You could make that argument. How do you get them those reps? And that's something we'll sit down with the union and talk about, when we get all the feedback from the coaches and the players. But overall, I think it's been a really great thing for the game. And you've seen it not just through the NFL, but you've seen it's carrying through college football, high school football, and youth football. Certain drills aren't used anymore. That's good for our players long term, the current guys and the future guys.
before we go back to the audience, let me ask both of the players here, how do you guys decide on what your off-season regimen looks like?
Well, I think for me, this is my eighth year off in the NFL, so I've invested in myself. You know, I just bought a new house in Houston, and I put a weight room off in there. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 8 o'clock in the morning, I can go out there and I can get a workout in. Not only that, I've invested in jug machines. I've turned my house into my own workout facility. Because in investing in myself, then it all pays off on the field. You know, I know Vaughn kind of started getting chefs. I got a chef this off season, and, you know, she taught me what to put in my body to give my body fuel. So things like that, and investing in myself, and it's showing on the field. I think that right there lets you know that you're becoming a pro.
Vaughn?
Along the same lines of what Emmanuel said, you just got to, you know, use the time that you have to invest in yourself. You got great, you know, skilled guys, talented guys all across, you know, the National Football League that never take, you know, a day off. Then you got some guys that, you know, take a couple of months off, a couple of weeks off, or whatever it may be. But you got to find, you know, the rhythm to what it is that makes you a great pro. This year I took a different approach to it. We missed the playoffs, so I kind of used that as more time to work out. So, like, right after we played the Oakland Raiders, I flew to my trainer and started working out. This was something I had never did before. So I just wanted to take advantage of the time that I have.
Yeah, this dude switched it up. He's working out in the sand. He's embarrassing me. Here I am in my little gym, one rep, two rep. I go on Instagram. He's all in the sand. I'm like, what is going on, man? What is he training for? Like, a war? What is, like, what's... Are you about to go to Afghanistan or something?
It just depends on how bad you want it. If you look at guys like, you look at guys like J.J. Watt. You know, he sets a great example on how it's supposed to be done. And you look at, you know, him on the football field. He's a beast. So I feel like some of the work that you put in the offseason, it really translates, you know, over to the field. It's not always guaranteed, but I feel like it does translate over.
All right, we had a question in the middle. Go ahead.
I have a question for all of you guys. So now that you guys are well-known, does that affect your daily life? Like, since you're well-known in the media, does that affect your everyday life?
I think, you know, the NFL, they do a great job of really promoting the players. If you look at the draft, you know, right when the rookies, you know, hit the National Football League, everybody knows them. You know, it's like, you know, like the quote on Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Like, once you have this platform, you really have to take advantage of it. You know, you gotta walk. You always gotta know that people are watching you. That, you know, people know you wherever you go. It's a good thing, and I like to think it's a good thing and a great thing. You know, I don't look at it as it's a bad thing at the same time, because you can't really live double lives in 2017. You know, whatever you are off the field is what you're going to be on the field. So it's a great thing. I love it. The NFL, they do a great job of promoting the players.
Well, I think for me, you know, me and Vaughn, we're both from Texas. And, you know, Vaughn, we both come from humble beginnings, you know, and working hard. You know, a lot of people probably say, oh, yeah, you guys just arrived in the NFL. No, we worked our butts off to get here to be in this position. So, you know, I remember trying to climb the ladder and going through those Pittsburgh days of, you know, like – going to the mall and seeing Heinz Ward jerseys and saying, man, someday I want my jersey to be off in that Foot Locker. And I know Vaughn wanted that when he was at A&M, the sack master, saying, man, someday I want to be in that spotlight. So being in that spotlight, I actually enjoy when people walk up and, you know, say, hey, great catch or great that, because I put in so much hard work that I like to know that it's appreciated. So I embrace it. You know, I'm big. Me and Vaughn both are big on social media. We both, you know, in terms of fan engagement, we're both all about that because we're so appreciative of, you know, all the fans just from Broncos country all throughout the NFL.
One quick question for the commissioner. Commissioner, what about the possibility of a franchise being put somewhere outside of the U.S.? How realistic is that in your mind?
Well, for those of you who know, we're playing four games in London this year, second time we've done that, and we have a game in Mexico. And every time we play a game over there, the fans want more. And it's really quite extraordinary because they have learned the game. They have a passion for the game, and they actually understand the game. I like to tease, you know, some of the early games, the officials would throw a flag and they'd start cheering. You know, they didn't really understand the game. Now you'd have a hard time when you're over there and you're watching a game, they respond just the same way they do here in the States. They understand the game and they want more of it. And we're selling those games out. You know, we put the tickets on sale and they're almost immediately gone. I think there's no question about the passion over there. The real question for us is, can we do it and make sure we maintain the integrity and the competitiveness of the game? Can these guys still play at the same level if they have to play in London and travel back to the States on a regular basis, or people going, teams going over there? Can the teams prepare properly with that kind of travel? So, you know, if you got to fill a couple of roster spots, you got to get people over from the States. You don't want to put any team at a competitive disadvantage at the bottom line. And that's, we haven't convinced ourselves of that, to be honest with you. But I don't believe fan passion or fan support is in doubt over there.
All right, we had a question on this side. Go ahead.
Thank you. Commissioner, thanks for coming to Colorado. I had a comment and a question for you, if I may. I'm a youth football coach, work with grades 1 through 8. And what we're doing with USA Football is critically important to the future of all football, I believe. So appreciate your support on that. We're caught in a little bit of advice in terms of, you know, the data that keeps coming out, you know, in terms of what happened in Baltimore. But then everything is getting so much safer. I just caught myself the other day telling parents, you know, my kids play lacrosse, and I think I'd rather have them in the football game in terms of safety. We're doing such a better job. So we keep needing your support on that, but thank you for everything you're doing. The question is around, you mentioned R&D and supporting that. We're starting to use Guardians now in high school. I'd be curious to hear what Dave Logan has to say about that. And then we're also hearing a little bit about this Q-caller. I think it's a DOD idea that's being brought forward. Is the NFL looking at this at all, and what could you share with us?
I'm not familiar with the coach. I'm sorry. You said it's called what?
It's a Q collar. It's looking at it's
oh, the collar.
The collar, yeah. Q collar.
Yeah, you know, the issue that we always have with equipment is properly testing it, because it's the unintended consequences. So you may remember back in the 90s, guys were wearing those bubble helmets, and you know, it may absorb the impact better, but it can also cause another injury, where it actually, if two of those helmets collide, it actually pulls on it and then can cause a neck injury. So one of the things that you need to do is really fully test these. So the Vices helmet that I talked about is being tested for the last 5 years. And it's being slowly integrated into the game to get the feedback to make even further improvements in it. There just hasn't been enough of that research and development, which is what we're providing, so we advance that technology more quickly. I do believe, to going back to you, and one, thank you for coaching, because I got to tell you, the most meaningful people in my life other than my family were my coaches through the years. And they had a huge impact on me and who I'm all about. So I think it's great that you're doing that, and I know you're going to affect a lot of kids. But USA Football is important to us in teaching kids the fundamentals of the game and helping the coaches have the information to teach that properly, because if you learn the fundamentals earlier, these guys will tell you, they stay with you. You have them. You don't have to adjust your game. And that's something that we believe in. And I do go with you. I think the game of football is safer than it's ever been, and I think the future is brighter than it's ever been.
And I would answer your point to me. You know, things have changed so dramatically with football, right? I played in the league for 10 years as a wide receiver, and it was a dangerous place to be in the middle of the field. When you got dinged or what have you, you know, they would put an ammonia capsule under your nose and then ask how many fingers you got held up. And players want to play. Players, one of the best things I think the league has done is they've got an independent person on every sideline that will judge whether that player should go back in the game. If you leave it up to players are going back in. I mean, one quick story, was knocked out in a game. Woke up with an ammonia capsule under my nose on the field. I said, did I catch that? My trainer said, yes, you did. So he said, move your hands, move your toes. You good? I said, I'm good. So I'm walking off the field, and I see my replacement, and it was my last year in Cleveland, my ninth year in the league. I see my replacement trotting on the field. And I said to myself, you are not getting my job. And I waited one play and put myself back in the game. That's really unhealthy. But we didn't know any better back then. What's going on now with these guys as a former player, I really applaud. And the best thing in terms of teaching young kids the correct way to tackle and how to place your head and to eliminate some of the dumb drills that we as coaches, you know, experienced as a player. Those things are really important, I think, for our young people playing football.
Dave, yes. Can I just add, because yes. I'd love to hear the coach. You know, there's a culture change. To your point, these guys now are aware of what's going on, and they will identify a player and say to the medical team, hey, you should look at Vaughn. You should look at Emmanuel. And that's a really healthy change. That's comes from these guys. It comes from medical teams. It comes from a lot of policies, but I think guys are looking out for each other in a way that they never did before. Not because they didn't care, by the way. It's because they weren't aware of things to look for. And that's something that makes the game different.
No doubt. Time for two or three more before we wrap things up. Go ahead.
This is a question for the commissioner and the players. It's been widely reported that the NFL viewership is down. And I know recently there was a Gallup poll within the last 2 weeks that came out saying that probably 25% of the reason the viewership was down was because of the un-American stances by certain players. The two gentlemen you have up there, of course, never participated. I realize everybody's entitled to their opinion, but is the NFL thinking of addressing anything about that, the protests on the field?
Well, I'll be happy to start, and these guys can weigh in. First off, just on your first point, you know, everyone's struggling with ratings right now across sports and entertainment. Just for the record, the NFL had the number one show in all of television with the Sunday afternoon Fox game. Sunday Night Football is the number one show. And I can go down the list. Thursday Night Football was the number two one show and number two show, I believe. So the reality of it is the popularity of this game continues to go north, and I think it will continue to do that. Listen, we and I believe our players should be active in their communities, and because I believe they are leaders in their community. I think they have a voice, and they should express it. And I think it's important for them to do it responsibly. And that's these guys understand that. And everyone does that in a way that they think is going to address the issues that they think are important. But our guys came in the community. And I think there's a great example of that with Brandon Marshall here, who went in, worked with the police department, and actually caused a positive change in the community. And that was by creating a dialogue and creating a change in. I really admire our guys, and Brandon's not the only one across the league. Teams did that, players did that, and I think they created that dialogue and that discussion that has led to really positive change. So I admire them and encourage them to do that the right way.
Okay, we're good? All right, we have time for one more question.
So my question is, it's for Emmanuel Sanders, and I'm going to try and stay positive with it. My
question
is... You
don't have a question for me and have a Von Miller jersey on.
Well, I mean...
I'm like, all right, here comes the question for Von. We got to get you in a 10, man. We got to get you in a 10. That's all I'm saying.
So I'd like to stay positive, but where do you think the offense is heading? And I don't know. It's looking a little bit rocky right now in terms of our situation.
Well, it's supposed to look rocky. We're in the Rocky Mountains, right?
Yeah.
Nah, I think offensively, we got an offensive coordinator that's bringing so much positive energy. And Mike McCoy used to be the head coach of the Chargers. And from the moment that this guy entered the offensive meeting room, he's been one of those, let's get excited. Let's go out. We're going to be the number one offense. We're going to be this. We're going to be that. We're going to be this. We got to do this, do that. And obviously right now we got quarterback competition, and that's the reason why people are saying it's rocky. But I tell you what, we got a revamped offensive line. Me, DT, the whole wide receiver crew. We got Jamal Charles, CJ Anderson. We got so many great players, great playmaking players on this offense that we're going to be good. You know, obviously with the quarterback situation, no one knows what that's going to be, but we're working every day to figure out that situation. I think offensively, you know, with our defense, I think that this is going to be a really good season for the Broncos.
I tell you what, you just never know in football. I think that's what makes football great. And on basketball, you can have, you know, you put two or three guys on a team and they're automatically, you know, a championship team. You just never know. Last year with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Dak Prescott, nobody knew he was going to have the type of year that he had. Any day, it could happen for our guys too. You know, it could happen for Paxton. It could happen for Trail. You know, every day they show glimpses of greatness. All they got to do is just be more consistent. You just never know. I think a couple of years back when the Philadelphia Eagles had all of these great players, and it was like they were the dream team and
Vince Young,
you know, all of this stuff, and they didn't even make the playoffs that year. And then you look back a couple of years ago when we played in the Super Bowl, we're going against the Carolina Panthers, and it was just supposed to be a crazy, you know, blowout. So you just never know in football. You just got to play. You got to take it one game at a time, and you never know what happens. Either one of those guys could really turn on and be, you know, the next face of the National Football League. So you just never know.
It really was a crazy blowout. Just saying. Hey, we want to thank all of you for taking the time out and coming out for the fan forum. Commissioner Goodell, thank you very much for spending some time here in the Mile High City. Vaughn and Manuel, thanks so much for doing that. We appreciate it, and have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.